Let's start off by a passage that many of us know. It's 2 Corinthians. Guys, you got to jump ahead of me. It's on your list. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Very, very familiar verse, but I want to set this as a foundation because this is what I want you to believe. This is what I want you to start to believing in your life. For he made him, he, this is God, him is his son, Jesus. For God made Jesus, for he made him who knew no sin. How many know Jesus was sinless? He had opportunities to sin, right? He had been tempted, the Bible says, in all ways, yet he didn't sin. So God makes Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Somebody say for us. Somebody say for me. So God makes Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God. You know what righteousness means? Righteous means holy. Righteous means blameless. Righteous means honorable. You know how Christ, who is Christ has made you? Christ, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now listen, this is for those who've accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. Okay? If you haven't, you can have all this today by simply accepting Jesus in your heart and asking him to forgive you for your sins and becoming a Christian. You can do that today. But if you've already done this, listen to me, this is for you. Satan is interesting because he is, oh my goodness, he's such a liar. So here's what he does. Before you got saved, here's what he told you. Before you got saved, he said, bah, you're not that bad. I mean, no, this is true. He's always comparing you to someone else. Somebody worse than you. You're not that bad. And let me tell you why he's always saying you're not that bad. You're not that bad. You're not that bad. You're not that bad. You know why he's telling you you're not that bad? Because he wants you to not recognize you need a Savior. Let me tell you what the Bible says about you're not that bad. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says your heart is incredibly wicked. And then when you accept Christ, then you know what he tells you? He tells you, oh, you're bad. You're so bad. You're so bad. You're so bad. You know what I mean? And he brings all this condemnation on you. Just the opposite is true. Before you were saved, you were bad. Come on, can somebody confess that? And so was I. Amen? The wages of sin is death. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were messed up, every single one of us. But after we got saved, when we accepted the blood of Jesus, the sinless one became sin for us that we might have right standing before God. That we would be, watch this, is what it means, righteousness. It means blameless. That we would be blameless before God. Now, here's what happens. Our mind just kind of goes, what? Here's why. Because we remember what we did in junior high. We remember what we did in high school. We remember what we did in college. We remember how crazy we got and the stupid things and the, you know. You don't have to say amen. But we remember all that. And here's what I'm telling you. Here, let God be true and every man a liar. Let me tell you what. You might not feel it. I don't care how you feel. Your spouse might not say it about you. Your friends might not say it about you. It doesn't make any difference. Your neighbors might not say it about you. But let me tell you what. Let God be true and every man a liar. Here's what God says about you. You are blameless. You are holy. You have been made the righteous. When I look at you, I don't see any sin. Because there was someone who was sinless, but he took your sin. He became sin that you might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's my message today. I've got 3 points. They're quick points, and they're simple points. But I want you to get this. That number one, if you don't get this today, if you don't start understanding
what Christ has done for you on the cross, here's what's going to happen to you. You're never going to fulfill what God has called you to fulfill. Your guilt will keep you from your destiny. Guilt keeps you from your destiny. And here's why. Because the Bible says that these weights, they easily beset you. Turn to the passage in I think it's Hebrews 12, verse 1. Look at what it says. Therefore, we also, since we were surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. You know what this sin is? The sins are sins not only that you're committing last week and the week before and the week before, but sins that you committed 4 years ago and 14 years ago and 24 years ago and 34 years ago and some of you 44 years ago. And what you do is you think, oh my goodness, I'm going to go on a journey, but when you go and you have something that's so easy, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is easy. My yoke is light. Where you could take this and you have like just a Butterfinger and some Skittles, and you throw that in there and boom, and you got some water and it's easy and you're going to fulfill what God called you to do, that this thing is light, and you see yourself as God has seen you. But what most people do is they look and they think, oh my goodness, I know I'm supposed to do that, but when I was in junior high, I got high way too much. And when I was high school, I got drunk way too much. And when I was in college, oh my goodness, don't get me started when I was in college. I remember sleeping around. I remember conning girls, telling them I loved them, and all I really wanted to do was just sleep with them. That's who I am. That's who I've been. I still even have thoughts that are impure. This is who I really am. And so then you try to fulfill what God has called you to do, and you're never going to fulfill what God has called you to do because there's so much that is weighing you down. Can I tell you what? And this is all in the past. Paul says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Listen, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Whoa, but what about the second part? What about who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit? Who? Well, who to you too? Because let me tell you what that means. Those who walk not according to the flesh, but don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that isn't those who walk in perfection. It's not talking about that. You know what it's talking about? Those who will remember what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. That's what it's talking about. See, here's what I'm telling you guys. And for some of you, you've sinned and you have issues with sin and you keep on sinning and you keep on blowing it and you know what? You think, no, I'm not. I'm not serious. I'm serious, man. I'm not going to do it again. And part of your problem, I'll tell you a problem right up front. You have a sin mentality, a sin consciousness. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there was the first that came, and that was the oracles or the plan of the sacrificing of animals. And what they did is they threw all the sacrifice on these animals, and then they would sacrifice them. They had a big thing once a year. And all the sin would go on that animal. But here's what the Bible says. But he didn't keep them from a sin consciousness. Because here's what they knew. They knew that that animal wasn't sufficient. Because guess what happened next year? They had to have it again. And guess what happened next year? They had it again. And guess what happened next year? And every year that they're going through it, it's proof that this animal isn't taking care of the problem. And you know what the Bible says? The only purpose of this sacrifice was for us to look forward at Jesus, who was going to come. And when Jesus Christ, here's what the Bible says. When Jesus Christ came, he was going to come, and it was going to be done only one time, and it was going to be good forever. Amen. Somebody say forever. Here's the difference, and that has got to change. See, let me tell you what. If I had to say, Pastor Drew, if there was one thing that you could fix in the body of Christ, what would it be? It'd be what I'm preaching on today. It would be simply that we would start to have a clear understanding of what Christ did on the cross for us. Like, we know it. We don't know, oh, he died for my sin. 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 Okay, well, if he died for, did he die for your sin or did he not? Because if he did, then you are blameless. That's what the Bible says. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are free. I'm telling you what, until you get this, it's going to hinder you from walking and fulfilling what God has called you to do. Can I get practical with somebody? So let's just talk about marriage. Amen. I said, let's just talk about marriage. Amen? Amen. Wow, it's gotten quiet. You guys are ready for this, right? You can't treat your spouse the way you need to treat your spouse. One of your callings is to specifically to love your spouse and to honor your spouse. But you can't do it with a sin mentality. Here's why. If I had glasses on, if they were pink, you ever try glasses on and some have like a pinkish tinge, you know what I mean? And when you put them on, what does everything look like? Everything looks pink. If you put glasses on that are a greenish tint, when you put them on, what does everything look like?
Green.
If you put them on, whatever, is a gray tint, what does everything look like? Gray. If you have a sin mentality, you don't think yourself of as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Here's what happens. You have this sin glasses on. Now, when you look at all kinds of people, you know what you're going to see? Ooh, 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 ooh. You know, boom. That's just how you look at it. You're like, boom. Because what you're doing, you're looking through your glasses. And when you look at yourself, if you have pink glasses on, you look at your pants, you have gray, you look at your pants, everything, including yourself, is tainted to that color. Who's the main person that you are looking at, spouses? I mean, you look at your spouse more than anybody else. You see your spouse more than anything else. And so because you see the unrighteousness of yourself, how many know when you look at your spouse, you really see the unrighteousness of your spouse, do you not? Is somebody getting this? You know what Paul says? Paul says, we don't look at people from the flesh anymore. Why? You know why? Because he sees himself as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? How many know when you look good, everybody looks good? Amen? How many know when you're happy, you don't even just like, oh, you know, when somebody's all mad, you don't know, you're like, oh, you don't, oh, they're probably just having a bad day. Right? You're just like, not a big deal. But when you look at something that way, everything looks that way and everybody looks that way. And you're never, the simple calling to love your spouse, to treat your spouse with honor, you won't be able to do. You won't fulfill your calling. Why? Because that sin is going to beset you. Are you seeing this? Number one, please get this. Because until you get this, until you understand that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll never fulfill what you're called to do. And can I tell you what? We don't have time for you not to fulfill what God has called you to do. That's right. Jonathan, I need you to fulfill what God has called you to do. Paul, I need you to fulfill what God has called you to do. Richard, I need you to fulfill what God has called you to do. Listen, we are a team. You know what I mean? I don't need the defensive end walking around going, ooh, you know what? I'm gonna get a hot dog. Hey, you know what? Hot dogs. Oh, I want one. We don't got time for that. We have to be focused. There's a purpose for every single one of us, and we have to fulfill our purpose. Are you learning something? Number two. Jesus has already paid. Jesus has already paid for your sin. One, it might have been last Christmas, I forget, but recently, it was a Christmas season. My wife wanted to go to the mall. How many know going to the mall in Christmas season is not a good plan? I mean, how many know it's crazy up there? I was like, where in the world? You know what? I got to get my backpack and hike, you know what I mean? So it's just crazy. So she said, can you give me a ride? Just drop me off. You can, you know, find a parking space, and then you can just study. Well, that's fine. I took my books. You know, it's a good idea. I drop her out front. I finally find a parking spot, or I didn't even think I found a parking spot. I just got hungry. I thought, I'll tell you what, I'm going to McDonald's, okay? You know, sounds like a McDonald's run right now. So I go across the street. I get in line, go to McDonald's. I'm really not that hungry. I just want something to drink. But then I decided, well, I'm going to get a small fry. I'm going to get a cheeseburger. And so I get a small fry, cheeseburger, large Coke. Boom, I order it. I go up to, you know, order at the first window. Go to pay for the second window. And here's what the lady says. You don't have to pay for it. The guy in front of you paid for it. You know what? I don't know what it's like to win a lottery, but I felt like I won a lottery. I'm like, yeah. You know, it's like you get all happy. I'm like, yes. You know, like, hey, what was it? Like $4 worth of food? I don't know. But I was acting like it was, you know what, $1,044. I'm like, yes, I'm going to have to pay for this. This is awesome. I got so happy. Now, how many know it would have been ridiculous for me to say, no, that's my food. I'm going to pay for it. How many of you are like, are you an idiot? What are you thinking? Don't pay for that. He's already paid for it. Just receive it. Just receive it. You know, that's what Ephesians tells us to do. It says, just receive the righteousness of God. Just receive it. Listen, just because it's been paid for doesn't mean that you receive it. That's what guilt is. That's what shame is. You know what the Bible says in Revelations? It says that that Satan is the accuser of the brethren, that he goes to Christ daily accusing us, you know what, of stuff. Can I tell you what? What was really smart for me to do was just to say, thank you, hallelujah. You know what? I'm not going to pay for it. It's already been paid for. And drive up and get my food. Amen. The sin that you did in junior high, it's put on him. He already paid for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to. It's ridiculous. The price has already been paid. Your sin was laid upon him. Used to freak me out. When the passage, when Jesus would say, he said, Father, why do you forsake me? That freaked me out. Because theologically, I couldn't understand that. What was going on there? Can I tell you what was going on there? Your sin was going on there. And Daniel, all of your sin, listen to me, that you've ever committed and that you're ever going to commit was put on Jesus Christ. Amen. And all my sin. And there is a lot was put upon him. And all Anthony's sin. And all Richard's sin. And all Carol's sin. And all Lydia's sin. Can I go on? Because I'll get to you. Right? Right? And all this sin. And so Jesus is now, you know what, taking, listen, the sin had to be paid for, and it was paid for, and so Jesus, being all our sin, God forsook that. And that's what he's talking about. And there's no need for you to pay for the sin. There's no reason for you to be guilty. There's no reason for you to feel shame in something that happened when you were in junior high, something that you did when you were in high school, some way that you treated your spouse last month. There's no reason for you to be full of shame and full of guilt. God doesn't hold you down. Don't hold yourself down. I said, God doesn't hold you down. Stop holding yourself down. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Go to the just Hebrews 10:10 from the NIV version. Watch this. I love how the NIV words this. And by that will, we have been made holy. Some would say, I'm holy. See, that hardly gets out of your mouth. You're like, because we don't, can I tell you what? I was raised in the Baptist church, and I thank God for the things that I learned, because I learned so many wonderful things in the Baptist church. But can I tell you one thing that I learned that they said over and over and over and over again that is not true? I learned in the Baptist church, heard it probably every single week, heard this, that somebody would say, we're just sinners saved by grace. Okay, and before you say amen, you know what? Don't say amen to that. Because let me tell you what, if you were saved by grace, then you are no longer a sinner. Amen. Amen. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Amen. Look at this passage. And by that will, the will that Jesus had to lay down his life, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You have been made holy. Amen. Once and for all. Did you accept Jesus in your life? If you haven't, do it today. Because today can be the first day of the rest of your life. And you can walk in his holiness. But for many of us, we've already accepted Jesus. We're just not walking in his holiness. We just don't recognize what he's done. We've just have taken the blood of Jesus and said, yeah, I know Jesus Christ died. But yeah, what about my sin? And I'd say to you today, what about your sin? What are you, some super sinner? You know what? Bum-ba-dum, super sinner. You know what I mean? Whose sin is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? There is no super sinner. Yeah, but Pastor, you have no idea what you did. I don't care what you did. There's no sin that you or I did that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ. And I just got to tell you, and this mentality of keeping a hold of our sin is it's a lot of things, but it's incredibly disrespectful to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. No. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm delivered. I'm whole. I'm righteous. And I thank you, Jesus, I am holy. Amen. 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 And quite frankly, I love you. Quite frankly, I don't care what you think about that. I don't care what you, I love you. I don't care what you think about me. Yeah, man, I saw you the other day, and you're in that church van, and I saw you, and you just ran right through that red light, and you were in your van. So. Oh, well, hallelujah. The blood of Jesus still cleanses me from all unrighteousness. You say, but Pastor, you're just giving people a right to sin. I'm not giving nobody a right to sin. The Bible says, if you sin, come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy. You know what I found? It's the love of God that causes us to repent. Let me tell you about a sin mentality. A sin mentality won't keep you from sinning. A sin mentality will keep you bound to sin. And there's no reason you have to be bound to sin. There's no reason. That's why Satan is the one who accuses you all the time. Because as you see, David said this, as a man perceives in his heart, so he is. So you see yourself, you say, man, I've always had, you know what, I've had a problem with lust ever since I was 11, ever since I was 8. You know what, I saw this pornographic thing, and I started having issues with it, and you know what, and then it just got worse with the internet, and I've always been, you know, it's always been, it's my little secret, I won't tell anybody, but God knows, and in my mind, Pastor, you don't understand, I tried to get delivered from that. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I'm here to tell you, you can be delivered. Amen. I'm telling you, you can be delivered. You can be free. Amen. You can be free. But you're not going to be free until you get rid of that sin mentality. You know what? You see yourself, I just smoke dope. I just have sex. I just drink a little bit. I don't drink too much. You know, I only get drunk once a month. You know, I only smoke, you know what, I mean, 4 joints a day. You know what I mean? You know, my friends smoke 8 joints a day. You know what I mean? Not that bad. You know what I mean? Hello? Hello? Don't raise your hand. I don't know who I'm talking to. But we act like these issues aren't issues, and they are issues. And they're issues of people who come to church. And we'll just put them under, you know what, you know, put them under something, you know what, and do it in secret and think, but here's the truth. You know it's wrong, and you live with the guilt, and you live with the shame. And what I'm saying is, guys, if you accepted Jesus Christ, there's no condemnation. The sin has already been taken care of. And if you get rid of, listen, I'm telling you, the problem... Can I teach somebody something? Yeah. The problem isn't the sin. The problem is you have a sin mentality. So you will always do that. Because you never see yourself different. And what I'm telling you is if you've accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, God has already forgiven you for all that. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's not condemning you. When the angels, what did they sing? You know what? When Jesus was born, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill. Be free. I'm not mad anymore. Now listen to this, because I said that on purpose. Listen, God wasn't mad before. If God was mad before, why would he send Jesus? He was never mad at you. There was a sin problem, that's for sure. I'm not saying you didn't have a problem. I'm not saying I didn't have a problem. We had a huge problem. It's called sin. Sin separates from God because God is holy and he can't accept sin in his presence. So there's a big problem. I'm not saying there wasn't a problem. I'm saying we take the world's mentality and we drag it into church like it's theology. No, it's not. God has never been mad. Well, that's, anyway, what? Yeah, well, God gets, yeah, I need to qualify that because you need to understand, I need to be theologically, hermeneutically correct. God does get upset, but let me tell you, even when he gets upset, can I tell you what he gets upset? If you tried to run over Jonathan. If you tried to run it over Jonathan, I would get very upset. God gets upset with sin. But let me tell you why he gets upset with sin. Because sin hurts you. And he loves you. Okay, does that... Are we together on that? Do you understand? God's not mad. If he was mad, why did he send Jesus? And we still act like, even after Jesus Christ died on the cross, we still act like he's mad at us. He's not mad at him. He's not mad at you or 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 you, and he doesn't care what you did. It doesn't make any difference what you did. It doesn't even make any difference, somebody hear me, when you did it. See, we think that God, oh, praise God. Yes, God forgive me for what I did in junior high, what I did in high school. But in high school, I accepted Jesus Christ. Even after I knew Jesus Christ, then I sinned. Oh, my goodness. Where do you get your theology? God loved you enough to send his son to you, to die on a cross for you, when you weren't in the family of God? But when you are in the family of God, that's for some reason, then that blood doesn't wash you your sins away? That's a crazy thought. How many are seeing that? God doesn't love you less when you come into the family of God. God's power, that power of sin, the power of the blood of Jesus doesn't become less when you're in the family of God. This is craziness. But we have allowed, you know what, wrong thinking. We have allowed Satan to terrorize us in what we've done in the past. And today, you know what, let God be true in every man alive. Amen. Stop paying for something that has already been paid for. And finally, you need to talk back. Because Satan is saying, telling you this and telling you that and in your face, and you did this and you did that and you're like this and you're like that. And you need to tell him what you are. Let me tell you what I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans, guys in the back, flow with me here. Romans chapter 8. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm going to show you this. You got to see it yourself. How many know if it's in the Bible, it's true? Don't hold on to your religiosity. Don't hold on to what you learned, you know what, back there in 1978. When somebody taught you, but they didn't have the scripture to prove it. Hello? Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 28. You guys got it in the back? 8:28. Romans chapter 8:28. Now we know that all things work together for those who good who love God. How many know that scripture? Oh, all things work together. Right. For we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now watch this, next verse. For whom he foreknew, he predestined. I got to stop here. I got to teach you this. You got some time today?
Okay.
The doctrine of predestination, which means that God says, you know what, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, well, you young lady, I'm going to save you. But God help eeny and meeny and miny. Right? That's the theology of predestination. You know what? And I'm going to teach you something here. Because we'll see God even using this term, predestination, all throughout the New Testament several times. But how many know the scripture always makes sense together?
Yes. Right.
Do you think God says some can go to heaven and some can't go to heaven?
No.
You think that's the heart of God?
No.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says it's God's will that everyone would be saved. Well, how come all men aren't saved? Because the Bible says they even know the truth, but they suppress the truth. They choose not to love God. It's their choice. But this needs to be taught, because what you have to understand is this. Watch this. For him he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God. See, God predestined. God predestined us. Whoa. What does it say first? For whom he foreknew. I said, Pastor, I don't get it. I still don't get it. What are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. God doesn't choose for you whether you're going to accept Jesus or whether you're not. That's up to you to choose. Anyone who wants to receive God can receive Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many know what I'm saying is true? You say, but why does that say predestined? Here's why. His predestination is based on his foreknowledge. Okay, let me illustrate. We go to Norms. Say we go to Norms. We're not going to Norms, but let's say we go to Norms. Tamara and I go to Norms. We sit down. The lady comes by, and I order a steak, and with the steak, I get soup. What? And salad. Norms is the bomb. Anyway, but when the lady says to me, what kind of dressing would I like on my salad? My wife answers. And you know what she says? Tamara answers. She says, blue cheese. Okay. Now you, sitting there, think, oh my goodness, Tamara predestined Drew to have blue cheese. She predestined it. How many know she didn't predestine me to have blue cheese? What did she? She foreknew. You know why? Because the last time we went to Denny's, I had. And the time before, I had. And I always like when she goes to the store for her to get that Bob's. Yeah, how many like the Bob's, big boy? Blue cheese. Blue cheese. She's not predestined me. It's her foreknowledge that enables her to say, I want blue cheese. It's his foreknowing understands what we're going to do. Now, but I said all that just to teach you, but then here's the main point. He predestines us to be conformed to the image of his Son. What? So, here's what God did. God knew that Anthony was going to select Jesus, and based on him foreknowing, how many know, if I watched the video of last year's Super Bowl and you hadn't seen it yet, but I already watched it, we recorded it on tape, and I saw the end, I could tell you, and the Falcons are winning, and I'm like, Patriots gonna win. You're like, no way. No, I foreknow it. I saw it already. It's gonna happen. God saw Anthony choosing Jesus Christ, and based on his decision in his heart, he could choose anything, for I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants might live. God has given everyone a choice. And God gave Anthony a choice. But when Anthony made that choice, because God has already seen it, he knows the beginning from the end. He already knows. That doesn't mean he's forcing it to happen. He just knows. So based on his foreknowledge, guess what God does? God shapes Anthony. And he sees some over here. Oh, this part doesn't look like Jesus. And when he does that, how many know? How many ever been corrected by Jesus Christ? How many ever come into church and you're like, ouch, Pastor, ouch. Ooh, ouch. Ah. You know what I love about Christ? Even in his correction. I use this illustration. I think it's a great illustration. God is able to hug with one hand and with the other hand come on over and just give you a big swat. You know what I mean? And so you feel like, ah! But then you feel the love of Jesus Christ. How many have been corrected so good? And it hurts, but you know God's love, you feel the love of God. And you know that his correction isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. So God chops this part off and whittles this away and chips over here. And it's this whole process. But what's happening is the process is he's formed. He's predestined to be formed. This is him. To be formed in the image of his son. The reason I have this up on the screen is because I can't preach this without you seeing it. I won't preach this without you seeing it. Because people will get on the internet and say, "Oh, that's hey, listen, I'm just teaching you what the Bible says. I'm just teaching you what Jesus Christ does. There's so much religiosity. And people preaching the word of God and are preaching, but they don't have the word of God. And then when you have the word of God, they say, "That's crazy. What are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor? Are you saying that Anthony's going to look like Jesus?" Yes. 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 See, listen to me. There's so much mistruth. There's so much wrong teaching that when you teach something right, you can have people come against you and say, "That's wrong." Listen, I didn't say it. All I'm doing, read it. All I'm doing is telling you what Jesus, yes, that's exactly God's predestined Anthony to look like Jesus. Now, does he look like Jesus yet? Well, before you answer, do you look like Jesus yet? Well, let's answer it like this. You know what? Does he look more like Jesus than he did 2 years ago? Before you answer that, do you look like Jesus more than he did? Here's the answer. I hope you do. I hope you're allowing Jesus to chip here and to take that off. I hope you're not resisting God when he says, "You know what? Hey, I love you." You got to stop that. But let me tell you about God. When God says you got to stop that, he's already seeing what you're going to become. Yeah. See, let me tell you what. God has made a decision that Anthony is going to look like Jesus. Yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, look alike. What am I saying? What I'm saying is start to identify with what God says. And finally, did I get to my third point yet? Oh, I didn't get to the verse yet. Isaiah, I love this verse. You know this verse. Isaiah, you know what? Chapter 54, verse 17. You know this. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. How many know that verse? So, friend, do you know what it says after this? I love the after part. Watch this. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment. You're a pot smoker. You're a sex fiend. You're a druggie. You're a gossip. You know what? You couldn't lose weight if you tried. You know what? Ma'am, shutteth thou uppeth. Sir, silencio, por favor. You know what? Please, be quiet. These are tongues that are rising up against you in judgment. They're judging you. And can I tell you what? They're judging you wrongly. Here's why. Because God says, no, I am perfecting you. That's what I'm doing. What shall you do? Watch this. In every tongue which rises up in judgment, watch this. You shall condemn. I remember one time, I'm not saying do it like this. I'm just telling you a story. And I was fighting something. And you know what? I don't just fight things with antibiotics. I'm not saying that you can't use antibiotics. I'm saying that if you're a Christian, you know what? The word of God needs to be your final authority. And so I was coughing or sneezing or
sniffling. I think I was all congested. You know, I was like, hello, how are you doing today? You know what I mean? And I was working in the grocery store, and this lady comes up, and she says, and I was renewing my mind, what the Bible said. The Bible says that God sent his word to heal us. The Bible says that by his stripes we're healed. You know, and I'm just renewing my mind according to all these passages that I'm memorized and thinking about, and I'm renewing it, just telling myself what I am in Christ Jesus. Not forgetting all his benefits, who heals us from every disease. That's what the Bible says. And I'm renewing my mind. Well, she comes up in the grocery store, and she's just being nice. You know what I mean? She just, you know, hears me. You know, hi, did you find everything okay today? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And she said, oh, you must be catching a cold. And I did what the Bible said. That was a tongue that riot was coming in judgment against what I saw the word of God. And I just from the heart and mouth speaks, I said to her, you know what? She just, oh, you must be catching a cold. I said, I am not catching a cold. Ooh, well, you know, who woke you up on the wrong side of the bed? You know what I mean? Okay, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying do it like that. Don't do it like that. Okay, don't do it like that. But here's what I'm saying. You have to understand that what Christ did for you, that, listen, that these thoughts of judgment against you, of telling you whatever you are, you can't ever get free of that. You'll always be in bondage to this. This is who you are. That is not true. And you have to speak up, and you have to say no. In the name of Jesus, as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You know what? As far as sickness and disease, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. You know what? As far as debt and poverty and all that junk, no, you know what? I have never. David said, I've been old, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their descendants begging for bread. Let me tell you what, there is a war out there, and you've got to fight, and you've got to stick up, and you've got to say, and you've got to speak back, because you have to remind yourself what Jesus says about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Do not make less of what Christ did on the cross. He set you free. And if you are free, you are free indeed. So it's time to start identifying with who you are. You are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Here's what the Bible says. All things have become new. All things have become new. All right, I'm done. Did you learn something today? You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I had an abortion. I can't even imagine. You know what? And when I had an abortion after I was saved. I even knew what I was doing. And yet, watch this, for my convenience, because I was scared of what they said, what they would say, and how I would be condemned, and I allowed the world to just talk me into aborting that child. Pastor, you don't know what I did. My girlfriend came up to me, and she said she was pregnant, and I was so young, I didn't know what to do. And she didn't want to abort the child. But I freaked out. I got mad at her. I manipulated her. Talked to her about how much I loved her and how this wouldn't make any difference in her life. And I knew it was going to make a difference in her life. And I paid for the abortion. I drove her to the abortion clinic. I was begging her to go in there. And it was all just about me. Now, I don't know if you've done any of that. You might have done things that you might consider worse than that. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what the Bible says, that God not only forgives you, but God, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says that God doesn't remember it. How can he do that? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ really does cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The sin
is washed away. You have been made brand new. Can you take something and destroy it so bad that it's non-recognizable? Do you remember this? It was who was the tall, pitcher? He pitched for Arizona, had a crazy fastball. Randy Johnson. Okay, so Randy Johnson is pitching. Sad story. There's a bird that's flying. You already know what's going to happen, huh? There's a bird that's flying. Randy Johnson, fastball, hits the bird. True story. The bird is gone. Boom. Where's the bird? I don't know. The fastball just annihilated the bird. It wasn't like the bird went, to the ground. There was no bird. There's a bird. There's no bird. You think God's not powerful? You think Randy Johnson's fastball is more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ? See, can I tell you why? Can I tell you what's going on? Listen, in God's mind, that which is past is past. It's gone. It is forgotten. Listen, it didn't even happen. What is that? You know what it is? It's supernatural. When I was a kid, my dad for most of my life was the worship leader. He was the janitor. He was the preacher. He was the worship leader. That's what he was. And so, but I love when my dad used to lead worship. One, not because he had a great voice, but because he was so passionate about what he sang. But when we would sing, There is Power in the Blood, he would sing, there is power, power, wonder working power. And then he'd sing, there is power, 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 wonder working power. And then he'd sing, there is power, 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 wonder working power. Okay. And I loved it. Can I tell you what? I can't tell you how much power there is. The power of the blood is so powerful that it is able to annihilate, to make the sin that you did non-existent. Listen, there is no condemnation. If you're walking in condemnation, I love you. If you're walking in condemnation, what Pastor Bradford said, if you had a bad week, it's your fault. If you're walking in condemnation this week, I'm going to say this with all due respect, it's your fault. Because it's not true. God's not mad at you. He does not condemn you. And you have been set free because of Jesus Christ.
It's interesting because the series Let God Be True and Every Man a Liar, if we look at where this mindset comes from, you know what, that God's mad at us. If you look in Genesis, and you can look at it when you get home, it starts in chapter 3, but the serpent gets cursed by God. He's the one. He curses him, and he tells him, you are going to crawl on your belly, and you're going to eat the dust all the days of your life. And then he says, and I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. And listen to this, and he will crush your head, and he'll strike your heel. So that's how he deals. If we go back to where we get this nonsense from, Satan is the one who God rises up against, you know what, and punishes and condemns. And Adam and Eve, okay, they have consequences from what they did. And he begins to, then talk to them about their consequences and what consequences will come because they disobeyed. But you can't find that anger for them there. It doesn't exist. As a matter of fact, what you find is you find that he protects them. And he, right there, that he's going to put, and he right away is ready to rescue them. He's got a plan. Right there in the moment, he says. So immediately he loves them and wants them back. And he's on a plan. He's like, okay, not only are you in a heap of trouble for this and you're going to pay for this, but he right away has a plan to get them back. And then I'm going to go real quick. Look at this. 321. And the Lord God made garments for Adam and Eve. He's providing for them. He's not mad at them. Why don't he tell them, okay, you fools, run around naked. Now that's what you get. He's not acting like that. But you would think that's how we think he's going to treat us. But that's not how he's doing it. So he makes clothes for them in 321. And then, let's see. Let me just give you some more. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us. He knows good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and to take also from the tree of life. Remember, there were two trees that they weren't supposed to touch, because then he'll live forever. That was a real bad time to live forever. To understand what would have happened is the very thing, is what the whole rescue is about for us right now. Don't spend an eternity without God. God needed to implement a plan that man could have that eternity with God. That Satan would not be our father. He's not a good father. He hates us. He's evil. But right there in verse 22, right away, he's protecting man. And then he drives him out of the garden, and he placed cherubim to make sure that he can't get in and he can't get to that tree. Because there has got to be a redemption plan that has got to be set up. And God wasn't taking any chances of having you separated from him for an eternity. Now that's the real gospel. Not the jazz that people are being taught. And it's right there in your Bible. Listen, God is so in love with us, and his word tells us that. He's made so much provision for us that we cannot walk in shame. The blood of Jesus, we need to receive it. That the blood does what the blood does. That it allows us to be sons and daughters of God. That we don't walk in that shame. And God already knows everything, okay? He knows that. Here's what we need to do. Just fall in love with God. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. That's what you're supposed to be doing right now. And the more you fall in love with God, the more you will become like Jesus. You just will. I can't believe, and I don't have people have like crazy testimonies. I don't have a crazy testimony. But whether I'm, some drug lord out there doing crazy things, or whether I'm just me who grew up in Chicago, doing selfishness and pride and whatever, all my jazz. The answer is Jesus for both of us. And he loves both of us incredibly the same. And he paid the same price for both of us. I marvel sometimes at the faithfulness of God to me. You know why I marvel at it? Because I just love him so much. I marvel at how good God is. He's amazing. He's done so much. I mean, I say he's done so much for me. He's there for me all the time. And I wish I had that same faithfulness to him. All of us. Do you know what I'm saying? All of us. We know that we put other things in front of him when we shouldn't. We know that. But man, is he faithful to us. And here's, if you look at the Word of God, that's never changing. It doesn't change. Just like in the garden, from that very moment, he provided, he protected, and he immediately was reaching out, figuring out, okay, I'm getting them back. It's exact, and I'm going to take care of them. And I want them with me. From that very second to this very second, to it will never change. That is his desire. All we need to do is make that our desire. Because that is not even, it's not even possible to fathom the awesomeness of the blood of Jesus. That when we've asked the Lord to forgive us, and then we carry this sack around, whatever the sack is, whatever it represents. Here's the crazy part. When the Word tells us, the Lord doesn't even remember. Like if you said, oh Lord, I'm so sorry for that, you know, and forgive me for that, and I know I'm like this, what? He doesn't know what you're talking about because it's covered out with the blood of Jesus. That's the awesome gift that he's given us. Why did he give us that? Because he knows that he wants us to be walking with him and cleaning up and all of us to be there when the final day comes. And the final day will come when there won't be a choice to make a choice anymore, right? That's coming. We know that. But man, let's not let the enemy run us around. You know what I mean? Like we don't have an awesome father who's done all of that. Because that's the plan. That's his plan. Is to keep you from that destiny of being with God eternally. It's crazy, huh? I mean, it's so simple. But I don't know why we let him complicate it in our minds. We just need to just... You know what we should do? We should figure out, get some of the things that God says about us, and every morning just remind ourselves, renew our minds. Father, I thank you that I'm the apple of your eye. Father, I thank you that you know every single hair on my head. That's the kind of detail you have to me in my life. Wow. I've got this letter. I'm going to look for it. This is a little area. Y'all got areas you got to clean out, right? I got this area you got to clean out, and I know it's in the area. I know it's there. So I'm going to clean that area out this week, and I'm going to find this letter. I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to show it to you. This letter, I was a new believer. Pastor Drew and I were our first year of marriage. So it's been a while. We just celebrated 26 years on Friday of being married. For sure, this letter got written the first year of our marriage. So, in this letter, you know what? And I was, I was somewhere in my first, 6 years or whatever with the Lord. And I remember one of the things that I really, really wanted was that my little brother would, that he would be healed, that he'd be whole. And I remember writing, I was watching something and just praying, and I'm believing God for my brother, that he would be saved and whole and all this stuff. And the Holy Spirit quickened me, and he said, I want you to write down, tell your brother how much I love him. So I wrote down on a piece of paper, Todd, you're whole today because the Lord loves you. And then the Lord said, mail that to yourself. So I did. And so I have this letter. Y'all know what it says inside now. But I have this letter, and it's sealed and stamped and all of this stuff. And Did I say that we just celebrated 26 years? I did. That's a long time. And so in this process, I mean, I can tell you all the details of where my brother accepted the Lord. And then I can tell you all the details of just his health and kind of what's been going on and all this stuff that's been happening. And just, what was it, honey, 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. My brother is legally blind. He has been for many years because of diabetes. And he called me. He FaceTimed me and my mom a few weeks ago, and he said, "Do you notice anything?" And we're looking at the screen. We're like, he's got it like all up in his mug, you know. We're like, "You're really handsome. What do you want to hear?" And he says, "No, do you notice anything?" And so we're both looking at it, and my mom says, "No." And I said, "No." And he said, "Here, I'll give you a clue." And he took his hand, and he like rubbed his eyes. I can't do that because I'm all full of makeup. So he took his hand, and he kind of rubbed his eyes. He goes, "That's a clue." And I'm just looking. I said, "Hmm." So then he said, "I don't have any glasses on." I'm like, "Oh, you don't? That's right. He wears glasses." Like, "Hey, you don't have your glasses on." And he says, "You know what happened?" I said, "No, tell me." And he said, "I took my glasses off to clean them the other day." Now, long story that the Lord brought some information to me about this doctor and that my brother, you know, that you could restore your eyesight and all this stuff. Okay. So I told my brother, and again, long story, but my brother started taking the product, right? About a year ago, probably. So he says, "I was taking my glasses off." And here's what he said to me. He says, "Will that stuff work on my eyes?" I said, "I don't know. All we could do is try." He said, "Okay." You know, I said, "I'll tell you what you need." So I told him the stuff, and he got the stuff. And then he's been taking it, I think, about a year, maybe 9 months, 10 months. And he said, "I took my glasses off to clean them. And I went and put them back on, and then I couldn't see. And I took them off, and I could see better. And I put them on." I said, "What the heck? What the heck?" And so he called his doctor. He said, "When I called Patty, and I said, 'Patty, look it. Come in here. I can see better without my glasses than I can with them.'" And so, and they took his license away several years ago. And when he asked me, "Hey, will that work for me?" I don't know. And he said, "Oh, if I could drive again. I just really want to be able to drive again. I miss it." And I said, "Well, we'll see." You know what I mean? So he's took the stuff. He's been taking it. So here's this day now, just 2-3 weeks ago. He's doing all this stuff. Oh my goodness. He says, "I'm gonna go to the doctor." You know, he said, "Call the doctor. I got an appointment for my eyes. I'm gonna go." And so he goes, he gets checked out. And she said, "Oh my gosh. This eye is like 8 clicks better than the prescription that you have. And this eye is like 4 clicks better than the prescription that you have. And that's why you can't see good. That prescription is like way worse than you need." He said, "Do you think I can get my license back?" She said, "I don't know. Come back next week. We'll retest you without the drops in your eyes. We'll see what happens." I've got a picture of him. Not if I don't show it to you maybe next week or something. Got a picture of him. He just got his license. He's driving. And I thought, oh my goodness. See, now that's something I asked the Lord for a long time ago. And I am amazed at how faithful God is to me, to you. But sometimes that shame, it keeps us in a corner. We don't even ask. We find ourselves like undeserving of so much, and we don't even ask the Lord, much less walk in freedom from this stuff, much less have the awesome relationship with him that he wants us to have. We need to know that his word is true. Let God's be word true. You're amazing, and he loves you. And every man a liar, including us, when that's coming against who God says that we are to him and that he is to us. Amen?